Welcome, sports fans, to the Sammy Sportface and Spars show, part of the NGSC Sports Network. We're going to jump right into topic one, the Olympics. And there's a lot being talked about right now. The New York Times came out with an article basically questioning whether the whole concept of the Olympics is outdated and needs to be changed. Some data that's come forth, 22% of the Japanese people are supportive of the Olympics, pretty low number, 52% of the United States. There are concerns about typhoons and earthquakes. More than two dozen athletes have been tested positive for COVID-19. Heat problems, it could get up to 104 degrees. They've moved the marathon from Tokyo to Sapporo, which is up north in Japan, a cooler place. So, Spars, I want to know what you think about this big cosmic question of should we have the Olympics or not?
First of all, great topic, and great to chat with you again, Sam. Looking forward to stirring some more stuff up today. I'm saddened by a lot of this because I'm a fan. I've been a fan of the Olympics since I was a kid, and I think a lot of us in the baby boomer brotherhood feel a connection to the Olympic Games. I think there's been so much mismanagement of this in so many different ways, particularly from the Japanese Organizing Committee as well as the IOC. But it is a tragedy in a way, right? The athletes have trained. I mean, they had to go through postponement last year, and then they had to retrain to get ready for this year. I still am confident that it can be pulled off. I think this is an important coming together of the world in celebration of something that is important for us to keep on. Even though it's been an absolute nightmare for some of these host cities, I do think some changes are going to have to take place, which hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about over the next few quadrenniums. But I'm hopeful that a few good, really good positive stories come out of this that are not tied to COVID, not tied to heat, not tied to breaking beds, which I think you may want to chat about a little bit as well. So, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm not sure I'm going to stay up in the, you know, to watch the opening ceremonies, which would be a change for me. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed that they can have a safe games. And I'd say at this point, we need to move forward with it and certainly hope they don't pull a last-minute decision and try to cancel.
Yeah, well, so I'm with you on this. I think that Sammy Sportface is an optimist and glasses half-full kind of guy. And honestly, I believe that the inspiration that the Olympics bring, especially because athletes dedicate their lives and don't really get paid very much, is very inspirational and a very cool thing. And the world comes together and actually agrees on something. So in that spirit of optimism, I've actually got three ideas that I think could really uplift the spirits of a lot of people who are down about the Olympics. And the first is in an event called nude swimming. I'm talking buck nude swimming. It'll make the swimmers go faster. They'll have less drag. And I'm also talking about not only the swimmers, but the fans being naked, Rowdy Gaines being naked, Dan Hicks being naked, and everybody watching at home being naked. So that's the first thing, and I propose that event be in Mission Viejo, California, which is the centerpiece of swimming in the United States historically. Second proposal is cigar smoking. How many cigars can you smoke in 10 minutes? Playing off the how many hot dogs can Joey Chestnut eat in 10 minutes. I think that would be a really cool event. And then accompanying that would be the cigar eating contest. How many cigars can you eat in 10 minutes? And, of course, this event needs to be in Coney Island, New York, just like the hot dog eating contest. And third, I think that the basketball event should be held at Little Flower School, Bethesda, Maryland, which is where Sammy Sportface made a name for himself and became the greatest athlete in Little Flower school history. So, Spars, what do you think about all that?
Well, I think there are three pretty ridiculous ideas overall, but there are some kernels of interesting things in there. I'll give you that. I mean, the first thing I'd like to comment about in terms of nude swimming is you said that, you know, it would produce less drag. I mean, it might produce less drag for you. It certainly wouldn't for me, I'll tell you that. But the location might be the right place. I might pick, you know, south of France or St. Barts or somewhere like that with some classic nude beaches on the ready. But, I, you know, listen, I think that could be certainly a spinoff and certainly would be a little more interesting maybe than the rock climbing competition, which was added for this year. But we'll have to see. You know, nudity, the start of the Olympics, I think, is were all nude competitions, and therefore it seems to fit with the theory behind the Olympic Games. As far as cigar eating, I will say this. I like to have a cigar on occasion, usually with a scotch, usually sitting around friends. And if anyone were to try to eat a, or smoke a cigar, more than one, especially a Churchill or Robusto, they would have a hard time and they probably wouldn't be alive. So certainly would be some insurance issues there. I would expect that the Cubans would probably dominate in that event. And as far as, and now I do love the idea of it being Coney Island and thinking that Joey Chestnut should be the analyst on that event. Anything that's speed, inhaling or ingesting, Joey Chestnut needs to be involved in. And certainly as far as cigar eating contest, he would probably have to enter and I'm sure he would dominate or at least do quite well. I do like the Coney Island, location. I think it's, you know, the location of one of our great American annual events, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. So that seems to make sense to me. I believe your third was something to do with your elementary school alma mater and Little Flower. Yeah. Is that correct? Did I hear that right?
Oh. Yeah, Little Flower School, where I became basically a legend as a grade school basketball, football, baseball, tennis, and swimmer. That's where I basically set the world on fire as a basketball player in grade school, and I think that would be like a great place to go back to.
Yeah, the idea of doing an actual Olympic competition in an elementary school setting, I think, would be good. It would help people's ego keep in check. You know, we have the Olympics and then we have the Paralympics, which actually are super highly inspiring as well, which come a week after the Olympic Games come to a close. But I suppose we could have a past glory competition, and Little Flower seems to be definitely for that would be the ideal location. I imagine you could have the kickball field where you probably played baseball as well, serve as a venue. And some other places maybe there. I am curious, is the gym named after you?
Yes, they were going to name it after me, but I basically demanded $1 million for that, and they turned that down, and I'm holding out until they pay me $1 million, and then I'll let them do that. But they do have a bust of me in the lunchroom. It's 6'3", life size, and it looks exactly like Sammy Sportface.
So 6'3", Sammy Sportface now in your 55/11 jersey, or
Sammy Sportface as a child in a jersey. So it's like, you know, tying the past to the present. You know, there's a superstar as a kid, and then he grows up and he becomes a superstar as a sports blogger and sports podcaster. It's the circle of life.
Is that what they told you? Because you said it was in the cafeteria. Are you sure it's not just to discourage people from overeating?
Well, who said anything about overeating? Are you suggesting I overeat?
I'm not suggesting anything. You just said it was a life-size current Sammy Sportface. And I know what I see. I know what I've heard. You love talking about fast food. I'm assuming it might be something to – you know, discourage them. So,
hey, however fat Sammy Sportface is now is irrelevant because now he's moved on. He's already accomplished what he needed to accomplish on the basketball court. But we need to move on to one final thing about the Olympics in this particular segment, and that is there are cardboard boxes that are the beds at Olympic Village, and there's been some speculation that the devious Olympic officials did that so it would be difficult to have sex at the Olympic Village because, you know, who wants to have sex on a cardboard box? You think that's what's going on here?
I think when you're an active 20-something, I think sex on cardboard box may not be as good as sex somewhere else, but it's still sex, and therefore cardboard box or not. I think that's what, if they were designed to inhibit people's desire to have sex, then that was a pretty silly decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, so Dave, it's actually idiotic because you could have sex under the cardboard box. You can have it on the floor. You can have it in the shower. You can have it in the hallway. So whoever thought that that might be the reason, it just seems really wrong-headed. So I don't even know why this idea came up. I don't even know why we're talking about it. So it's time to move on. And we're going to move on to our next segment after we play a little tune.
What's the code? What's the code, baby?
What's the code?
Best thing to go over.
What's the code?
What's the code, baby?
What's the code?
For you baby boomer brothers out there, that was a spinoff on the song Rock the Boat Baby, which I'm sure you heard and danced to back in your earlier days. And that was a beautiful song by Spars. And what he was saying was, what the goat? What the greatest of all time? That's what this segment is about, specifically about the greatest of all time Olympic broadcasters. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. You got Howard Cosell, Brian Gumbel, Dick Button. Two, I want to point out, Don Crickey and Bob Trumpy did swimming several Olympics ago, which seems insane because Bob Trumpy was a football player, not a swimmer. So what would he know about swimming compared to a guy like Sammy Sportface, who knows a shitload about swimming? But what I want to tell you is that I want to bring up basically I want to hear what Spars has to say about who he thinks the greatest Olympic broadcaster was and why.
Yeah, I mean, first, I should say that you're right. I mean, because you pretty much played every sport, right? And you could be the analyst on each and every one of these if you could just, you know, kind of move from place to place and commentate on every one of them. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah,
I agree with you on this.
You have a visceral understanding of the nature of competing in sport. I could pick up any of the, 50, 60, 100 Olympic sports and probably understand just about all of them in about 25 minutes.
Yeah, well, the one that I'm guessing you might not be able to is where I'm going to start with my goat of an analyst. I'm going to give two, one for hosting and or play-by-play and one for analyst. And this might be the only sport that Sammy Sportface couldn't be a very competent, if not exceptional, analyst for. And that is figure skating. And there have been some great ones. But the GOAT, in my opinion, is Dick Button. I mean, he's got the name. He's got the passion. He had the hardware as a medalist. And my goodness, hearing him say, triple toe loop or a sow cow, I'm still not sure exactly what these things are, but it was amazing to watch. I actually had an opportunity to meet him once. And he was a fascinating guy, and I just think he brought it every time. I mean, listen, Peggy Fleming was great, Dorothy Hamill. I mean, let's be honest, we're in the baby boom brotherhood. We all had crushes on them for sure. But Dick Button, from an analyst standpoint, is my GOAT. Now, on the commentating side, to me, the late, great, legend, maybe the best sports broadcaster of all time, Jim McKay. Jim McKay did it all and obviously was the host of the very popular Wide World of Sports. But what Olympic memory really does stand out, even though I was a kid, Spars the kid, was his performance at the Munich Olympics in 1972 when the terrorist attack hit. And he had to jump into action when he was supposed to be off. Just amazing, amazing broadcast excellence. And I think that Costas, as good as he's been as his host, his idol, I'm guessing, has always been Jim McKay. To me, the absolute GOAT.
That's great stuff, and I do agree with you about Dick Button. There was something about that guy who was madly in love with figure skating, and because he was, you would listen to him, and he would pull you in, and that is really the definition of a great broadcaster who can get you interested in something that you may not inherently be interested in. I want to bring up one guy. He's got the best name. He's got the GOAT name, and he's also, in my opinion, the GOAT Olympics announcer. And, of course, that would be Rowdy Gaines, who does swimming, Olympic broadcasting, and you may recall back in 2008, the Beijing Olympics, when Jason Lezak swam down the France swimmer in the final leg, and he screamed, "Here comes Lezak! Unbelievable! He's done it at the end!" I listened to that
Yeah. Evening,
and it gave me chills, and he is another guy like Dick Button who absolutely loves the sport of swimming and is an all-around good guy. So he'd be my guy. What do you think?
I like it. He was definitely on my list of considerations, I have to say. What's the big beef against him has been he maybe is a homer and maybe doesn't quite elevate to some of the greatest of the American swimmers, but he's great. He definitely knows the sport. And like you said, those calls that he's made when he's, you know, when he's pulling for one of our countrymen, I'm all over it. I like it. Love the choice. Listen, it's tough to go against those guys. Maybe we go, he's the Summer Games pick and Button the Winter Games pick.
And I think the central thread between the two is the passion for the sport and basically being good guys. I'm going to move on to another interesting Olympic idea. We talked kind of about some new events, and I've kind of been thinking a lot about this the past month, frankly obsessing about it. You know, there are three events where you throw stuff. You got the javelin, the shot put, and the discus. And my thinking on that is that it's time to start throwing other things. And I think a category would be good. And the category I believe we should be looking at is small appliances. And I'm talking about toaster ovens, which are big in Australia. I'm talking about rice cookers, obviously big in Japan. I'm talking about food processors from KitchenAid and microwave ovens from Maytag. And there are a few other things I want to say about all this, and then I'll let you chime in. In every single small appliance, I believe you should cram as many amounts of mashed potatoes and sausage gravy into each one of those to make it more interesting. And on the other side, who's going to catch it? Who's going to catch these things? And the answer is obvious. It's Jerry Rice. He learned how to catch a football by working with his father, who threw him bricks all the time. And that's why he became so great at catching a football. So he'd be great, I think, at catching small appliances. And I just want to – I did a blog about this the other day, and I interviewed the president of the IOC, Thomas Bach. And here's what he had to say about this idea. He said, since the games began in Greece in 776 B.C., athletes have always thrown the shot put discus and the javelin. We decided to bring these heaving events into the 21st century, and so representatives from all 205 countries going to the Olympics on what they thought we should throw, and we came up with the small kitchen appliance rising to the top of the list. It was the clear category of choice. So what do you think about all this, Sparse?
Well, I would probably throw some twists onto that. I think one of the things, because one of the challenges with the Olympic Games is who's going to host that, who can afford to, and so forth. But I think part of this event idea could factor into that decision, and one of the categories that any potential host country needs to work up is what's a kind of localized, important kitchen appliance that might be unique to their area. And then fill it actually with a local cuisine. Do we put, sushi, into the blender or these items here for Japan? I don't know, but that to me at least then creates a marketing opportunity for tourism. As far as the catching, I'm not sure. I mean, I do think that you could, bring different people in. Obviously, Jerry Rice, the, accomplished wide receiver, is truly amazing athlete for sure. But, I think you should, pick people randomly out of the stands to catch it. And if you catch it, you keep it. So if you can walk away with a blender or a microwave, for instance. You may not get a medal, but you get to walk away with it. But I also have one other twist I want to throw at this. And if you'd oblige me here, Sammy. And that is, why not throw a person? And why not have each team pick the person that they would like to have thrown by the strongmen? And by the way, a strongman competition is generally, I think, going to be dominated by the UK, and maybe Finland, and the United States.
Man, you forgot Bulgaria. Bulgaria's got to be great at that too.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a big fan of Brian Shaw right now, who is one of the top strongmen. You know, and he's in his 30s. I mean, these guys actually can keep doing it for surprisingly long. You know, and of course, Hafþór Bjornsson, who was the mountain in Game of Thrones, he would probably be up there too. And as long as he brought his 5'2", 120-pound wife along with him, which is just pretty amazing given that he's about 400-plus pounds. Anyway, so my thought was that each Olympic team gets that they – you know how they pick the person that carries the flag bearer and the person that carries the flag at the end of the games is you have to pick someone who's going to get thrown. And that could be based on whoever they think is, you know, worthy of getting thrown and landing, you know, somewhere uncomfortably on the ground. And I'm pretty certain that Bryson DeChambeau would be the pick for the American team would pick to see have thrown. So, and I know I would tune in for that.
That's an excellent idea. So you're saying basically just heave Bryson DeChambeau and see how far you can throw him, and then, you know, measure it, and then everybody just goes nuts. As simple as that. No medal, nothing. Just entertainment.
I think it could – well, it could be entertainment, but this is what's interesting about it because it's a sacrifice. So this competition would have to go early, and basically all of the Olympic teams, the delegations, would pick the person on their delegation that they don't even want competing. So they get thrown early, probably injured. If they survive it, then they can go on and compete. But otherwise, they're out of the competition.
Thinking about this, that's a great idea. And even though Kyrie Irving isn't on the men's Olympic basketball team, I think he should be another guy who should just get thrown and see how far he can get heaved. And then, and by the way, for you baby boomers out there, he looks like Freddie Boom Boom Washington and Welcome Back Cotter. I mean, we could come up with 1,000 people in the United States who we'd like to throw in this event. So that's a brilliant idea. It has a million opportunities.
Yeah, I like it, but I think these athletes have competed all their lives and trained all their lives to get there. They should have one final say about an important thing going on at the Olympics beyond whether or not they're going to have sex or, you know, what they do on the medal stand. So I think it would be a good ad. I think it would be well received.
And then afterward, everybody has a big mashed potato and sausage gravy party right there on the infield.
Could be. It could be the local country's designation. Whatever that delegation wants to eat, or someone, the host country. All kinds of options.
Excellent. Bringing it big time, Spars. I love it. All right, so we're gonna move to predictions. I'm going to ask you what is one or maybe two or three of your predictions on what's really going to happen at the Olympics that maybe everybody's not aware of who hasn't been studying the Olympics as assiduously as we have over the past 15 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything all that breakthrough. I mean, because I am trying to stay optimistic, so I'm not going to shit all over this at this point. There's some things that I'm ready to shit on them about. But not on terms of the stories, because I think the cool stories do come out human. And I'm going to say this, and this isn't breakthrough, it's nothing. But Simone Biles is quite possibly going to come out of this Olympics, not as the obvious goat of gymnastics, but maybe the greatest American. I know this could be highly debated, but the greatest American Olympic story there is. She's so good that she does things, she could peel back her routines to a much lower level and still win, but she doesn't. Why? Her answer is, because I can do them. Why not do them? I think that's just an athlete personified. And so I'm a big fan. I'm hoping she comes through. We'll get that great Tim Daggett calls, who also is on my consideration list for GOAT of analysts. So that to me is going to be a great story, even though I think there are going to be some other good gymnastics stories. I think we're going to do okay in the pool. I don't think we're going to dominate as much. And the other thing is that, you know, the women's soccer team did show their vulnerability the other day in a 3-0 loss to Sweden. I still think they have a good shot to win, but they're aging and they probably need to kind of step it up. So that could be a surprise.
Well, I'm going to move on with my predictions. I've got a few. And in all seriousness out there, there's a swimmer named Adam Peaty from the UK that everybody on this podcast listening should really dial into. He is an unbelievably dominating breaststroker, 100 breaststroke world record holder, almost guaranteed to win. And check that out. I'm predicting that he's going to dominate that event. I have a couple more predictions. Secondly, I think Megan Rapinoe is going to dye her hair teal when they play in the bronze medal game. They're not going to make it to the gold. They're going to make it to the bronze. And I think teal is a pretty cool color. I'm pretty big on teal, so it's cool with me if she wants to do that. What color do you think she's going to make her hair?
I think she's going to go, if she changes it, which I actually highly doubt, although teal would be a good choice, by the way. I think it would work for her. I think she'll go, she'll probably go blue, just to annoy a lot of other people. She does seem to annoy a lot of people. But I'm pulling for her to have another great, international competition as she did in the last World Cup. And we'll have to see. But, you know, they got a new coach. There are a lot of, you know, they've had people around this program for a long time and they just haven't lost. So this was a big wake up call the other day. We'll have to see, but you may be right. They may be playing for bronze.
And moving on to another prediction, and I think this one is 87% likely. Caleb Dressel, for those of you who don't know, is the next great male swimmer in the world. Not ever going to be Michael Phelps, but he's going to be big at these Olympics, probably win the 100 free and the 100 fly. And I think he's going to break out a new tattoo for his first race, and it's going to be a tattoo created by Spars showing the Sammy Sportface and Spars show. I think he's going to break that out because he is a big fan of this podcast. What do you think, Spars?
Well, that would be great, and if we could do it without, even though we have an obviously, as you can tell, a very large budget to produce this show, we generally don't like throwing it around for advertising and relying on earned media and the like. It's great that he's a fan. That's nice to hear. If he does it, wonderful. But I have a feeling his agent might have something to say about that. But cool. I mean, may as well propose it to him and maybe get on that right now so he's ready to do it.
Well, the reason I'm saying this is it's the meteoric.
I'm glad he's a fan, though.
I'm really sensing the meteoric rise of this podcast and the Sammy Sportface phenomenon, particularly among the Baby Boomer Brotherhood. So I'm thinking that it's becoming kitchen table conversation. Who is Sammy Sportface? And it's already all over Tokyo and the Olympics and throughout the swimming community. And all the swim readers. So that's where that comment is coming from. So now we're going to switch. We're going to go to another topic. We're getting off the Olympics, and we're going to talk about the NBA Finals. And a couple of things I want to say about that. First, I think Milwaukee may be the coolest city in America and much cooler than anybody ever thought or realized. They have 65,000 people standing outside the game and 17,000 inside the stadium. I mean, who does that? What city does that, right? This is like I've fallen in love with Milwaukee, and I want Spars. You've spent more time there than I have. What are your thoughts on Milwaukee and this fan base?
Yeah, it really was impressive. I have to admit, it's a great city. They love to drink beer. They love to drink great Bloody Marys. They love to eat high cholesterol food. And so I was surprised at the size of the Deer District, but it became its thing, right? You know, I'm guessing some interlopers from Illinois probably came across and joined in the revelry. One of the things that's always driven me a little.
Tell me about what you think about Milwaukee.
I think Milwaukee's a great city. This is obviously great for the city. It's hard not to like this team. It really is. I mean, the way they built the team, the way Giannis performed, it was impressive. I mean, there were a lot of things that drove me crazy about this team, for sure. And I'm going to say things that are something that's probably going to maybe piss you off, maybe piss a lot of listeners off. But they really were lucky to even be there. There's no way they get to the final without the injuries that happened to the Nets. But we'll skip that a minute and get back to Milwaukee. Great city. They know a party. I was surprised in some ways that it got that big. I'm guessing they had a couple interlopers from Illinois cross the line and pretend they were fans of the Bucks. That pisses me off, too. But, you know, it's not surprising in that they do support. This is a successful team. They came out. They loved this team. There was no doubt about it. I mean, let's call it what it is. That damn thing was a super spreader event, no doubt about it. I'm guessing that the vaccination rate in Wisconsin may not be as high as some other states, but we won't necessarily go there either. But, man, the city likes to drink. The city likes to drink beer. The city likes to drink Bloody Marys with sliders and bacon in them, and they like to eat unhealthy food, but it's right up my alley. I definitely think it's a fun place.
That's awesome, man. Thanks for the color on that. And now we're going to switch to our next topic, and let's go with the music, Sparse.
Ooh-wee, what's up my ass? What's up my ass? Ooh-wee, I said what's up my ass? What's up my ass?
Spars, that was beautiful. What he was saying, what he was singing was, what's up my ass? And Spars, tell us, what's up your ass?
We've talked a lot about the Olympics today, and I don't want to necessarily begrudge this, but this is something that just sucks, and it really has been up my ass. As optimistic as I've showed I have been, is I really have no idea how Japan, when an Olympic commitment means that you have all of the authority to do all the things you have to do, that the group there was unable to push the country to increase their vaccination rate to make this a very vulnerable game. And that just pisses me off because I do think it has the chance to screw this thing up even worse. So that's definitely been up my ass for a while. And their hemming and hawing and firing of people. They just fired the director of their opening games because the guy had, you know, it sounds like he was a huge anti-Semite from years ago. So I don't know who the hell they hired and all these moves they're having to make, but they screwed up a lot of stuff, and I'm just hoping the athlete stories and NBC comes through with telling those stories back here in the States.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and what's up my ass is that they're trying to downplay sex and at the Olympic Village. Putting cardboard boxes in there is really up my ass because those athletes deserve to let loose. They've been working for years. They need to release some tension. They're young. You know, sex is a good thing. And that's really up my freaking ass that they're trying to deter that from happening when all those athletes are entitled to have a lot of sex, in my opinion. So, one other thing, and what do you think about that, Spars? What do you think about what that means?
Yeah, no, it's a reasonable. I think it's absolutely worthy to have this whole idea of why are they sleeping on these, you know, these supposed. So we were talking about what is up my ass, and we both picked Olympic things, and I think that's pretty revealing.
So, Spars, what do you think about what's up my ass?
Well, I don't like thinking about what's up your ass at all, but in this case, I think it's a reasonable one. I think it's interesting that we both picked things that were tied to the Olympics. It shows that there's some hope overall. But, yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Whatever the reason was for putting these ridiculous beds to make them to be cheap or to try to prevent a certain degree of sexual contact, it's silly. I mean, there was that one guy that put the things to a test and kind of laughed about it. He's like, I can get busy on these anyway or anywhere else. So, yeah, no, that's you have a right to be a little annoyed by that because it's just stupid.
All right, we're going to now wrap this up real quick. We're going to go to Common Ground segment of the show. And Spars, this is where we talk about something we can agree on. And what do you think that is? And then I'll tell everybody what I think we have common ground on.
Yeah, I want to talk about the NBA playoffs. You know, despite a lot of beefing and a lot of people trash talking the NBA playoffs, and they did, the ratings were not good. I've taken a look at them. They were really exciting. There was a combination of dramatic storylines. There were heroes. There were villains. There were young stars emerging. There were veteran Hall of Famers still seeking a championship. And obviously, I think we saw some, you know, people that booked their ticket to Springfield in the Hall of Fame with some amazing performances here. So I think we can agree to that. We both love the game, it was one of the more entertaining NBA playoffs I've seen in a while.
Absolutely agree. I haven't enjoyed the NBA playoffs as much as I have this year, and I don't know, since Larry Bird, of course. This is this has been an unbelievable run of great NBA basketball, which came out of nowhere and is very surprising. My final piece of common ground, I think we can agree that swimming is the greatest Olympic sport by far. Don't you agree?
Yeah, well, that you lost me on that one, bud. I don't even think swimming was part of the original Olympics. I mean, that's like saying, you know, rock climbing or skateboarding is. I won't go that far. I do like swimming, and I know some great storylines. And some of the athletes you've talked about today and at other times are great. You know, like that woman that was the best athlete ever to come out of Little Flower, Katie Ledecky, for instance. But best sport for the Olympics, I mean, maybe top six.
Wow.
Sorry.
Right. Well, that's not common ground at all.
But no, we're going to have to keep working.
Yeah, as we have established that we are not on common ground, I think that's a great place to end this. And all the best to the Baby Boomer Brotherhood. This is Sammy Sportface signing off on behalf of Spars. Until next time.
Let the Fed take us out. Yeah.